I also would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord, and I wish us all a weekend as we have never experienced it before. And with us, all who are listening, who are watching, those who are experiencing with us, when the word goes forth, and as God indeed speaks directly with us. Today we have visit from many countries, from Brazil, from Venezuela, from the whole of Europe, and we have greetings from Denmark and from Finland, and also from all over Europe. And then, of course, one may never forget this. Brother Wallström is always greeting you in a very special way. Also our brethren from Bornholm, the nice island in Denmark. Brethren from all over Africa are greeting us. From Nairobi, from Johannesburg, from the various countries. And we are just also greeting them. Then I think it to be good when we also briefly greet our brother from Luanda. Where is the brother from Luanda? Maybe he just comes here to the front. We of course had large meetings all over Africa. I will tell you of them just now. But this is the brother whom God is using in a special way in Angola. And the people there are not only speaking Portuguese, they speak also a very good French. Brother Leonard, please also come quickly to the front. Brother Leonard was with me on all of my three mission trips in June, July and August, and now also together with our beloved brother Wolfgang Paya. He was also with us.
I greet you all in the most holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ich danke euch sehr. Ich begrüße euch sehr herzlich im Namen Jesu Christus unseres Herrn. It's always a great privilege for me to be here.
Es ist immer ein großes Vorrecht für mich hier zu sein.
We had a wonderful travel mission with our beloved brother Frank.
Wir hatten eine wunderbare Missionsreise mit Bruder Frank.
So we praise God for all things He has done through that trip mission.
Wir danken Gott für alles, was er durch diese Mission getan hat.
So God bless you.
Gott segne euch.
Danke
schön. Ja, ja, thank you. Ja, wen sollen wir noch rufen?
Whom shall we still call? I mentioned it already. Our visit from Venezuela and our visit from Brazil. God willing, we will again have a trip in October, to then be also in South America, and altogether it will be 18 stations on the October journey. And as we heard it in the word of introduction, we want to redeem the time. The time is precious, the time is expensive. That's how one also could say it. Now I just would give you a brief report of the journey, as mentioned with our brother Wolfgang Paya. He of course is a teacher and has a special talent to observe. His English was also standing the test. And then we were together with our brother Leonard Liefese from Brussels. It was indeed the most tremendous journey which we ever had throughout all the years. Both brethren independently were mentioning in their report the number of those who were attending the meetings and who took part in them. We have here for Blantyre, Malawi, 200, Lilongwe, 130, Lusaka, 350, Ndola, 1,500, Likasi, 3,000, Kolwezi, 8,000, Mbujimayi, 15,000, Lubumbashi, 18,000 people who were attending the various meetings. Altogether, in the month of August, between 40 and 45,000 have heard the word of the Lord. And when we then look back to the other months, May, June, July, then about the same number is added. When we go back to my trip to Ethiopia, into the Sudan, where I was even preaching in a refugee camp in the Sudan, continuing to Kenya, Botswana, South Africa, five cities there, and then going on to Angola, to Gabon, and then to Kinshasa. When we add up all the multitudes there, then in the last 4 months, we had between 70 and 80,000 people in the meetings alone in African countries. And what overwhelmed me very much, and what made me even sometimes to cry, was when I heard what the people are taking upon themselves just to come under the Word of God. We appreciate it very much that you are coming. I heard the journey from Romania, I think from Timișoara, up to here, it's about 1,700 kilometers. That's what I still remember from the times past. From Krefeld to Vienna, it's exactly 1,100 kilometers. I measured it once because I was driving there in one shot. We appreciate it very much that you are coming to hear God's word. But when then it is being said that a group of preachers traveled with a bicycle 286 kilometers, and then bicycle in the bus, and then also bicycle into the bush. And then it continued. And when such people are coming to hear God's word, also ministering brethren, they let God still speak to them. To them, God can still say something through his word. And we were always asking whom we are having in front of us. And especially in the largest meeting in the Kenya sport stadium in Lubumbashi, it was said it were 18,000 people. I didn't count them. But I wanted to be sure to know whom we are having in front of us. I was asking three questions. The first was whether they are waiting for the coming of the Lord, and if they are reckoning with the return of Jesus Christ. And you all know what African mentality is. There came a thousandfold hallelujah and amen. But this was not enough for me. I was asking the second question. Are you all entrusted with the end time message and with the ministry of Brother Branham? And again, an even more tremendous amen came. And this was also not enough for me. Then I was asking the third question. Are you all biblically baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And then I really thought that the hallelujah and amen is reaching up into heaven. So loud and clear was the answer. In this connection, I want to thank especially our brother Barrier before the whole world for the ministry which he faithfully did from the very beginning. All the circular letters, he translated them, all the sermons, and publishing them in the French language. And by this looking after God's children and the brethren who are speaking French, they by this had a very great privilege to read about the corrections which had to be made and which were made, and to search the Holy Scriptures and then to line up with the Word. God bless Brother Alexis Barrier from the riches of his grace. I have heard now coming Monday, Brother Barrier and Brother Leonard, they will travel to Ivory Coast. Not only Brother Frank, also other brethren are traveling. To them God's word is also so precious that they put their lives into the ministry of the Lord. Also all the brethren all over Africa, all over Asia, and all over Europe, on all the continents, may all brethren be blessed with the blessing of the Almighty God. Right at the end, after the large meeting in Lubumbashi, there was a TV broadcast of almost 1 hour, a live interview, and the man obviously had read all our brochures, traditional Christianity, up to the last one. In the beginning was the word and not the interpretation. The man was feeling free. He was the boss in the studio. And it was about the Godhead, about the baptism, about the ministry of Brother Branham. And I could answer all the questions freely and openly, just like we are doing it here. And the broadcast was aired nationwide. Not so, Brother Wolfgang Payer? I think we even have the videotape in our hands. Just so nice that God is opening doors, that He's opening hearts. And you all know it, I've said it. In Kinshasa, it was a black 500 Mercedes which was driving me. And what shall I tell you? Now I have heard that the President Kabila was providing for me his car together with a driver and bodyguards. From my arrival up to my departure, I was driven in the black States limousine here and there. Just imagine, God is opening hearts. He still can direct the hearts like rivers of water. And we more than often, since 32 years, we were in the country, and have sown the seed, and the seed came up. Now, just one more experience of my crossing from Zambia into the DRC. And there are, of course, complete different circumstances. One cannot compare a border with a border. It's really a chaos. But what impressed me was that on the other side, there was already waiting a huge multitude that we are coming. Believers, our brethren and sisters, maybe it were 150 or 180, maybe only 140, I don't know. But a large multitude. And what do you think? How they were rejoicing? What kind of joy was in them? And when we then were gathering under this nice tree and were hearing together a word, and as we were singing a chorus and praying together, this all have heard who were in the surroundings. I just want to say here that God's word really does not return void, but it accomplishes for what it was sent for. And if in Europe there are just one here and one there, then we rejoice that in Africa whole fields are harvested to bring in the fruit of the harvest. God just leads it this way. And this one must just leave up to Him. I will not dare to interfere with His doings. Maybe it also helped me, and thanks be to God for it. I've said it here once before. When Brother Branham was in Zurich, he had a special experience. At that time he said it was his second greatest experience he ever had in his life, which he can remember, was then in Zurich. And there he saw, indeed, the German eagle flying through Africa. And the brethren believe now that it could be so now. I will neither confirm it nor deny it. In the passport, I of course have the eagle. It's our national emblem. And when we then are flying even, and flying there, then it's of course all right like this. And the nicest is, when so many precious souls are being led to the Lord, we still belong to those who believe and obey the word fully. We also believe that one soul is more precious than the whole world. Many, many have forgotten the value of the soul. We thank God that we didn't forget. One could go here into details, but let it be said enough. Coming to the timely developments, brothers and sisters, one can just cry out what is already written in Luke 21 from verse 29. Up to verse 33-34. When we see these things coming to pass, that we should lift up our heads, because we know that our redemption is drawing near, and that we are counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. Looking into the world There is perplexity, helplessness, lovelessness, godlessness, lawlessness. There's just a chaos on earth in every area. And we found out that God gives grace, that He has taken us aside from the multitudes, speaking to us about the Word of God. And not only about the Word. This, of course, is the big difference. About the Word, all are speaking. All. Every preacher, every evangelist, he reads some kind of scripture, and then the Bible is closed, and then one speaks about it. But here it is different. Here we don't speak about the Word of God. Here we let God Himself speak to us through His Word. And a brother who is sitting quite in front here, he didn't understand a word properly here. But I'm still reading what he has written here. The date, it's not written here. So I don't know when this writing was done. It says here, I underlined it here, that in Job 38, verse 3, and also in 40, verse 7, it's clearly written, gird up thy loins. Also in Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, it says, have your loins girded. And now comes the question. Why do brothers in the church still wear braces? I must honestly say, I didn't see anyone coming here like this. But, beloved brother, this is really to be understood spiritually and not natural. Really not. But it speaks here that they were girded. And we also should be, have our loins girded. With what? With some kind of leather girdle. With the truth. This is the girdle. The truth. So not a leather girdle, but girded with the truth. Now just one more remark concerning the Palestinians and their mass media. Here, an article from the 8th of August 2004. And this is something very terrible. 6 points are terrible, and 10 can almost not be understood with a sound mind. Just one remark before I'm reading these points. You all know, to the people of Israel, the land of promise is being disputed. It always says occupied territories and what else of formulations are being used. But what the mass media are publishing there is just forever irresponsible. Point one. The Hebrews of the Bible are in no relation to the Jews of today. Point two. The Hebrews of the Bible were Arabs. Point three. The prophets of the Bible were Muslims. Point four. King Solomon was a Muslim prophet. Point five. The Temple of Solomon was not built for the Israelites, but for the Canaanites. Point six. The Canaanites are the ancestors of the Palestinians. Point 7. The Bible has nothing but what the Jews imagine, but nothing historical. Point 8. The Jews of today are the descendants of the tribe Khazar. I've never heard of that tribe. From the 13th century, and have no historic right to the land of Israel. Point 9. It is a Zionist invention that the Temple Mount is in Jerusalem. Point 10. Zionism is racism. And this is going through the mass media in all of the Arabic world, and is of course going forth from the land of Israel, namely in the territories which were made independent. It just hurts beyond measure. What kind of impudence the people are having. But let us just look around us. Is there any hope for this world? Is there hope for any religion? Is there hope in the politics? There is no hope anymore. Just one single hope. And this is in Jesus Christ our Lord. He who has read the Quran, all the 114 chapters, he of course knows what is written there. And nothing but hatred was sown. Just one more remark. When Muhammad was marrying his last wife, who was 9 years old, and when she was 16, when he died, he dressed her up and was covering her head with a scarf so that one doesn't see how young she is. And since then, the Muslim women carry a scarf because Muhammad covered his 9-year-old wife, which Caliph gave him. He covered her so that people don't see who is walking next to him. And then they invented the tradition. Brothers and sisters, when we say here today that everything and again everything is really only deception, in all religions, people are being deceived and are not brought into the light, as we just heard in the word of introduction. By the way, in the Sermon of the Mount, it's written almost in the beginning, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. And then it says again, in John, he who follows me shall not remain in darkness, but have the light of life. And again, Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the Lord says, I have come as a light into the world. And when we then go to the word of prophecy, the word, of course, has become a light since it was revealed to us by His grace. I just looked up here 2 places as I was sitting here, which concern Israel and which concern the land of Israel. And at this place, and this we want to say to the whole world, at this place only one book on earth counts as the book of God. There is no other book on earth which could claim to be of divine origin. And this book testifies of God, and God gives testimony of Himself to us in this book. From the very beginning, it testifies of God, I repeat, and God gives testimony of Himself to us in this book as Creator. And here we see Him in His diversity. But what concerns the land of Israel, so we have many scriptures, also in Amos, chapter 9, Amos, chapter 9, verse 14, and I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land. Upon their land. And they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. It is a promise, of God. And that Israel as a whole did not receive the Lord at that time, this of course hurts us. And the Jews had to walk a very difficult way because of their unbelief. They were broken off, and we stand justified before God because of faith. Because man is justified by faith. Only when a man believes what God said, what God did, what He prepared for us, only in this way we are justified before God. Straight in the prophet Obadiah it's written, Obadiah, verse 12, but thou shouldest not have gloated on the day of thy brother, in the day that he became a stranger, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have gloated on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. That's how it is written, and so it is. What will be when the wrath of God comes upon all the nations? What will be when the word of the prophet Zechariah will be fulfilled? And not only Zechariah, also Ezekiel 38, that God brings to account all the nations which will war against Jerusalem. The great reckoning. And to be honest, what then will be left will of course be taken away in the second pull, namely, when the judgments of God after the rapture will strike this earth. What is left of all those who are today are opening widely their mouth? What is left when all the judgments have found their end? Then also, all have found their end who resisted God, who did not believe, and who did not let themselves be placed into the plan of salvation of our God. Now quickly, to our observation, of course, it gets always greater and more precious to us, that basically every word of God, every subject, must be revealed by the Spirit. Without revelation, nothing happens at all in the kingdom of God. All things are tied to promises, and all things are based upon revelation. This already goes back to Matthew 16. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. It goes back to Galatians 1. In verse 10, Paul writes, if I yet would like to please men, I'm not even a servant of Christ. And then, from verse 11, he writes clearly, I didn't learn the gospel in a lesson, but I received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The one goes together with the other one. Even the signs of the time, which people like to see, and there are enough evangelists. There's not only Mr. Popov, who imitates a gift of discerning, having a bug in his ear, and his wife is asking the people what they have. And he hears all this very nicely with one ear. And then he tells it to the people, to their heads. And all are thinking that a great man of God stands before them, praying for them. But the German journalists succeeded to expose this swindle, and it was shown on TV. There is really nothing but deception on earth. Do we need to imitate something? Do we need to bring strange fire onto the altar? Or do we belong to those who understood the word in Hebrews and getting it into our hearts by revelation? After doing the will of God, ye will receive the promise. First, of course, the church must be called out from all confusion. Brethren, believe me, the moment has come where the first love must return. It doesn't make sense to wait for great things when we leave out the little things. We finally want to love one another with a sincere love, loving just as God loved us in Christ, forgiving just as God forgave us in Christ, receiving one another just as God received us in Christ, to really be under the blood of the covenant, we must obey the words of the covenant. Both was sprinkled with blood, the book and the people. And then the high priest entered once in a year into the most holy place to offer before God the blood of atonement. And there stood the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark was the Word of God. And there came the answer. The answer came not in the outer court, also not there where the priests ministered. It came there where God was present, there where His Word was. The same it is today. Brothers and sisters, we have divine ground. We are treading upon revelation ground. Here no teachings of men are presented, but the precious and holy Word of God is going forth to us here every time. So it is not enough to just read Matthew 24, verse 3, where the question is, and what is the sign of thy coming? And the third question was, and what is the sign for the end of the world? For us concerns the second question. And what is the sign of thy coming? And even we would recognize all the signs, even the sign, the direct sign, which of course is really Israel, namely the sign, the living sign, the fulfillment of the predictions that earthquakes would take place and wars and famines. These are all signs of the time. But Israel, the returning of Israel, is the living sign. God fulfills His word. God fulfills His promises. It's not only one sign among many, but when you see the fig tree putting forth buds, when you see the fig tree coming to life again, then be attentive, because then the time is here, and this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Let us also say this very clearly here. How many are looking to Israel? All the great mission works on earth. They are even having houses in Israel, are promoting tourism, are having speaking tours here and there, and one can be enthused about a thing without recognizing the purpose which is connected to it. And this one indeed must tell to the whole world. He who does not recognize and does not acknowledge that God now is making history, he will never have the desire to know the promise for this time. Leave alone having part in the fulfillment. And it is our holy duty to point to that God is really doing all things according to His word. And when He gave the promise that He would send the prophet Elijah, who am I that I could bypass it? Who am I that I would say, what have I to do with it? Here's the point, which concerns us as the called out church. And let me put it this way, as the bride church. Because it's all about the coming of the bridegroom. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. It's not anymore just about a church as a denomination. This we all had. We had the Roman Church, Orthodox Church, Anglican, Greek. We have all the Lutheran We have the Baptists. In the moment, we have 554 million Pentecostals on earth. We are having all the movements, all the churches, all the denominations are existing. But today, it is about one thing only, about the bride of the Lamb, about the calling out, about the preparation, so that we are not left behind at the return of the Lord, but that we can have part in it by grace when the trumpet sounds and when the Lord returns to take his own home. But then we are really again at this point when the commission went forth. And one doesn't want to always mention Brother Branham, but he just cannot be left out in the last part of the plan of salvation. He cannot be discussed away. It's impossible. And this we also don't want. We want to agree with God. And when he was told that the message which was entrusted to him would forerun the second coming of Christ, then there is no way around this important fact in the plan of salvation. And I time and again was asking the question, tell me just one of the world renowned evangelists who would have had the divine message, who would have had even the revelation about the Godhead, about the biblical baptism. Yes, the ABC, these gentlemen who are celebrated all over the world, they didn't even get it revealed because they indeed have grown up in the old leaven, having not taken out this old leaven. The last question which the man in Lubumbashi at the live interview was asking me came from the chief Pentecostal preacher in the city, and he had the question from Proverbs 8, where it's written of the wisdom, you are the beginning of my creation work, and I was rejoicing before you, and I had my delights with the sons of men. Where it's written. And he was really of the opinion that this word was written in reference to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Proverbs 8, verse 22. The Lord created me in the beginning of his way. The Lord whom we are preaching, he is not created. He did create all things. Through him and for him, all things were created, which were created. When one reads this here, how many times wisdom is mentioned here in the second, third, and the fourth chapter, and then, of course, up to the eighth chapter. But this is part of the basic education of a theological study. This very verse, I was looking up even these basics myself, might have been in 1956. I was reading it up. This is one of the main points where the Trinity people are claiming that Christ is a creature, like Arius also claimed it. No, our Lord is the Creator who spoke all things into existence. And when we read verse 30 and 31, then one sees already that it speaks of the wisdom and not of our Redeemer. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. And he who likes to read it in all the other scriptures can do it. It says here, girlfriend and not boyfriend. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Proverbs 7, verse 2 to 4. It was really nice that I indeed, by the grace of God, could answer this question on the dot, because I, of course, know this kind of questions. And indeed, there was a penetrating power which our brothers will experience there. Brothers and sisters, we are living in the time where God really reveals everything. Now, just a few scriptures for me. Very precious. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You all know Paul had the commission from God to write about everything. Gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, ministries, to place everything correctly about the Lord's Supper, about the resurrection, about the return of Jesus Christ. Tell me about what he did not write. And then we read here, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou carriest out thy commission without spot, being blameless until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know in what connection such a word is? Before the church can appear before the Lord without spot and blemish, must first a ministry, a commission being carried out in the church by the perfect word to bring the church to perfection. The word is needed, which was revealed to us by the Spirit of God. But let us be honest. The word must be preached. If it is not preached, then it cannot be revealed. Only what is shown to us from the word can also be revealed to us. And this always happens when the word is being preached. We have it here, that the commission, not only the church, this comes right after, but it must be a commission which really does not tolerate any mixing anymore. It must be a pure word seed, so that a pure word bride comes forth. Because the bridegroom was the pure word of God, which became flesh and which dwelt among us. We read here, that thou carriest out thy commission without spot, that you remain blameless until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, there might have been just a few servants of God who succeeded to go through life blameless. And I myself for sure not. But one thing we may say here, that the word which God revealed to us was proclaimed without any mixing, that the word is absolutely blameless. It's not our word. It's the word of God. It's the Old and the New Testament, which we time and again are summarizing. And only then we understand what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, that the Lord will present himself a church without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle. So, and this may sound now very far-fetched, but either the fountain is of God, and the message which God gave us is of pure divine origin, and we are brought back into the everlasting word, as it is already written in Isaiah 40, the word of God remains forever. And as Peter lines it out in his first chapter, from verse 22 to 25, this is the word which we preached unto you as the gospel. By his grace, we may hear the pure and holy word of God, as it was freshly revealed from the throne. Be it about the Godhead, about baptism, about all these Bible terms and teachings, we of course didn't go to men. We always took the word, and having God let speak to us. And only then the things which God's word tells us were revealed to us. How often shall we say it here? All men can point their finger on Matthew 28:19 and say, but here it's written, yes. Hours for hours, one could repeat, here it's written, the Lord said it. Yeah. What good is it? With one scripture, one must go to the next one and to the next one. One must just take all scriptures pertaining to one subject to get an overall picture of what God is saying there. Then in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul spoke in all seriousness in verse 17 about that God wants and must give us the spirit of revelation by grace. When a man of God gets a revelation from God, this is one thing. But you also need it. I also. And only then, when the revealed word is being preached, comes revelation to them who believe it. And revelation comes there where there is no more inner resistance. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So, it always starts with the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the first verse of the 22 chapters in the last book of the Bible, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. And he who then reads on in this book of Revelation, he comes up to the testimony of Jesus, and he reads then, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Everything is intertwined, it's joined with one another, and into this revelation The Spirit of God is leading us. And then is fulfilled what is also written. All who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Let us say it as it is. What we all need is a closer connection to God. A direct fellowship. I really like it to have it myself. More than ever before. Just an uninterrupted fellowship with the Lord. Just being worked by the Spirit of God. So that we all get to the unity of faith. We read on in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 18, the eyes of your hearts being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Yes, now we have the word saints. I hope nobody gets angry now, but he who reads in the Catholic Catechism, finding the Nicene Chalcedonian Creed, there it's written, we believe in the communion of saints. All who believe biblically, they believe that the saints with whom we have fellowship, that they are alive, who dwell among us and who come together here with us. He who reads the Confession of the Church will find out that the saints are all dead people who died, who knows when. And then sometime they are declared to be saints who are called upon. And all who are coming from these ranks, they know it, of course. I just want to say here, one can use the same terms, the same word, for instance now saints, and meaning something completely different. Also this I have mentioned here before, when I was together with Brother Menard in Manila, and there we came into a nice meeting. I took with me the creed, and I have it somewhere, I think in my other Bible I have it. And there was not only written, we believe in the Trinity and so forth. There it's written, and we believe in the communion of saints. And when I told this man of the full gospel, listen, in this creed, the saints are people who are dead. And I have a thick book about saints in the office. For each day there's a saint. It's again written, it's always written on the side note what kind of person this was. And at each person there's a side note with a name and a side note and again a saint. When I told this to that man, he was really stirred up. And he said, that's impossible. The communion of saints, that's us here. But one must go back to the origin, understanding what people did, using the same terms. Really, every single word was misinterpreted. Not one scripture was not, there's not one scripture which was not misinterpreted. Not only Bible language, playing seek and hide under Bible terms, but the biblical terms must become divine reality in our lives. We of course do not have fellowship with dead people. We don't know where they are. What are they to us? And when then even somebody said, but Christ also died. And then, of course, the answer could only be, He is risen. Blessed be His holy name. Brothers and sisters, when we at this place put the emphasis onto the true and faithful proclamation of the word, then we must, now and then, expose the deception. This just belongs to it. If we don't do it, and we of course don't know who is listening. Today somebody can be amongst us who comes from these ranks. Yes. And whom God wants to serve. Also this we once and for all must acknowledge. That in every meeting, in every country, there are different kind of people hearing the word of God. Just go to South America. There, everything is drowned in Catholicism. Go into the 28 countries where they speak Spanish and Portuguese. Everything is drowned. Just saints, all over saints. And places of pilgrimages. When they hear the word of truth, it can help them. And all people must be helped. Let us just summarize of what it is about. Not only that the church is being presented without spot and wrinkle before the Lord, but that she before is being called out, washed, purified, and sanctified, that the blood of the Lamb has an impact on our lives, that we indeed experienced reconciliation, forgiveness, grace, and salvation, that we can look back onto a day where we received an assurance of faith by God Himself, that we were accepted, becoming His own possession, crossing from death into life. The same way, there must be a moment where we are convinced on the inside by the Spirit of God to come out from all error, out from all what is not in line with the Bible, to come out of it, to receive the word and to be sanctified in the word of truth. Because it's still written, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And here, one's own work of holiness is no good. It must be the holiness of the Spirit. And how does it take place? It only takes place there where the Spirit of God can work, where all three things work together. As John summarized it in 1 John chapter 5 in verse 7. I believe all in Europe don't have verse 7 like the Americans. They indeed have in 1 John chapter 5, they have the adding, there are three in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit, and these three are one. It's not written one single time in the Bible, but it's written in the English translation, King James Bible, which they believe has fallen from heaven. Also here, addings have been inserted. One can read it. When the addings were made, and all overlooked it. He who reads the Luther translation, he will find it in the footnote. These words are not found in the original manuscripts, and this verse is not there. But God helps us now, that all these things which have been overlooked, God does not overlook anything anymore. God does not skip anything. He lets us see all these things, lets us know all these things. Also, when we think about how we were forced to it, I myself would never have read about the Islam if there would not have been a 9/11/2001. And now we know who Muhammad is. We also know who Allah is, namely not the God of the Bible, but the God of the tribe to which Muhammad belonged, the ancient moon god of the Babylonians, who gave life and fertility to all the vegetation. And then, I, Brother Frank, look into the Bible in all the Islamic countries. And there it says, instead of God, it says everywhere, Allah, Allah, Allah. Thousands of times, this, I almost said, this wicked word, Allah, is it written in the Bible? 1,000 times. So often, as you read in your Bible, God, it says in their Bible, Allah. It's right in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. There it says, in the beginning, Allah created heaven and earth. And then, one shall keep silent. Shall one remain calm? Where Satan has deceived the whole world and brought the deception right into his word. The moment is here where full clarity and revelation is given, and that really all people and tongues and nations are helped. And if it need be, also the Islam religion be helped. Be honest. What can the billions of people for it that have been misled? We are not condemning here at this place, but it just hurts that everywhere is nothing but deception. Let us summarize. God looks graciously down on his people. He wants to reach out for all people's tongues and nations. And it can happen that things are shown to us which just belong to it, to illuminate all things and to expose all the deception, because the religious deception is the most terrible one. And only then, when the Spirit of Truth has led us into the truth of the word, only then is fulfilled, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth is not just a term. Truth is alive. The word lives. The word of God is spirit and life. And when the truth of the word is planted into us, and when the seed springs up, then there's life. And life breaks forth. Life is being manifested. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Please, wherever you are, here and all over the world, don't be offended when we now and then are saying things of which people haven't heard anything until now. We just do it to give clarification, to pass on, to help, to serve, and it goes also with it. Paul was also in Athens. He was there on the mountain. I was also on that mountain preaching years ago. What's the name of that mountain? There all people are going, even today. And then he says, here the inscription says, to the unknown God. And then he began and said, this being whom you don't know, I know it. I know him, and him I declare unto you. It just has to be that one begins like this, that one helps, that one assists the people. Maybe you also have people with whom you are getting in contact, whom one can serve in love. We are not condemning, we're not judging. We just take ourselves the divine right to believe as the scripture says, and not to add anything to the word, but to be sanctified in the word of truth. May the three things which are written correctly in 1 John chapter 5, the word and the blood and the Holy Spirit, the word and the blood and the Holy Spirit, may they work in us, that we are a church which is kept under the blood, that we are a church which is sanctified in the word of truth, that we are a church which is being led by the Spirit of God, visible, sensible. Everybody can say it, but we wish to experience it. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Maybe we sing the chorus, "As so often, just as I am." How many of you would like that God does a full work by the word and blood and spirit, that really no area is left out, but so that we experience the full working of God as the blood-bought flock, as people who were so precious to the Lord that He came to us, becoming man, 100% human being, to redeem us, taking upon Himself all reproach and shame and sins and diseases. He took everything upon Himself. As the Lamb of God, He went to the cross. Behold, this is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He the Lamb, and we the lambs, the sheep of His pasture. That's how the Lord said it to Peter. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Brothers and sisters, it was a high price which was paid, and we have become God's own possession by what happened on the cross of Calvary. Receive it, believe it with all your heart. And all who did not yet accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, receive Him now. Accept Him now, because as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the children of God, namely to them who believe on His name. Believe today on His name. In His name, remission of sins shall be preached unto all nations. Accept it, receive it, and thank God for it, that He granted it to you by His grace. And now, we will together pray and we'll together thank. We don't disturb anyone. We just want to raise all our voices, offering God the praise. And this for all what He has done, for redemption, for grace, for healing, in fact for all things. God has given us much in Jesus Christ our Lord. Receive it, accept it, and now we thank together our God. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts and with all our souls, we thank Thee together. Beloved Lord, I want to carry out the commission which Thou gavest me to preach Thy word without any blame. And I want to see a church together with You without spot, without blame, without wrinkle. Beloved Lord, work by the power of Your blood, of Your word, and of Your spirit. Do a full work in our midst. Praise the Lord. Praise His holy name. He has redeemed us. We are His possession. He speaks to us. He reveals Himself to us. He saves. He heals. He delivers. He blesses. He gives revelation near and far.
Hallelujah! 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 Preis sei Gott. Preis sei Gott. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Preiset den Herrn. Rühmt das Blut. Danket ihn für sein Wort.
Thank Him for His word.
Hallelujah. Preis sei Gott. Preis sei Gott.
Precious Lord, bless all over the earth, bless everywhere, and reveal Thyself to Your people.
Hallelujah! 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 Preis und Ehre! Preis und Ehre! Preis und Ehre. O Gott. O Gott. Halleluja. O, es ist Jesus, lasst uns singen.
O, es ist Jesus. O, es ist Jesus.
Wunderbar, Jesus ist der Herr.
Wunderbar, wunderbar, Jesus ist der Herr. Wunderbar, starker Gott, Friedefürst ist er. Rettet mich, schützet mich vor der Sünde Macht. Wunderbar ist Jesus, der mir sieht.
Und noch glaube nur, glaube nur.
Glaube nur. Glaube nur. Alles ist möglich. Und glaube nur. Oh.
Amen. 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 Ihr mögt euch sitzen.
You may be seated.